Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this episode, recorded in Bali, Indonesia, during the IMF World Bank annual meetings, the head of the International Trade Union, Sharon Burrow, discusses how technological change is challenging workers' rights.
We have to have a new social contract that gives everybody the guarantee of work on which you can live, that deals with unemployment as well as underemployment.
Technology is quickly changing the nature of work. Full-time employment with healthcare packages and retirement plans are being replaced with short-term contracts with no benefits, leaving workers exposed. Sharon Burrow has been the General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation since 2010 and a champion of workers' rights in the age of technology. Burrow joined a panel on social protection and the future of work during the IMF World Bank annual meetings. The IMF's David Pedrosa sat down with her in Bali to ask her what the future looks like for workers in the midst of all this technological change.
Well, the future is in our hands. People talk about technology as if it's a force that on its own will simply go apace. We have choices about which technology, about how technology is managed, what the regulations are, and of course how it's introduced into the world of work. There's no doubt that we've lived with technology now for decades, and for trade unions and workers in the formal economy, that technology has largely been positive. It's been integrated into our work. We've negotiated increased skills and increased wage levels. But the pace of technology and some of the ethical questions we face is certainly at a speed and with challenges that we haven't seen before. However, you have to put those challenges in a bigger context. The convergence of global shifts is around the climate crisis, it's around technology, and it's around the historical numbers of displacement of people. So we would say to you, we need to make fundamental choices about whether, as we solve the problems of climate, or we look to integrate and support displaced workers, are we committed to full employment as a human race? And secondly, are we going to make sure that the policy and regulation is there to make sure every business has a social license to operate and doesn't in fact oppress or exploit workers or sovereign nations by avoiding tax and operating as footloose, rule-based entities that don't take responsibility for their employment contracts, for their workforce, and for the countries in which they make money from.
In this context, what would you say are the main policy priorities that, you know, heads of state, policymakers, or perhaps other entities of influence should be looking into now, you know, with these rapidly evolving changes that we're looking at?
Well, for the world of work, we need a new social contract. The social contract that was struck after two world wars and a Great Depression mm-hmm. was about making sure people had fundamental security, universal social protection, in a full employment model that work was in fact paid a minimum wage, that you had a capacity to bargain collectively, that freedom of association and the right to organise to share prosperity was at its heart. That's broken down. But now with those global shifts and with an economic model that has failed working people, we need to renew the social contract. It will be similar but different. It must have those fundamentals, but it must also look to the challenges of a global displacement of people to an integrated set of economies. And if multilateralism is to survive, if we're to actually have a form of globalization that people trust, then that new social contract is urgent.
I mean, this is a very interesting concept, just talking about a new social contract, because like you said, for many years or many decades, for a lot of people who've been in the workforce for a long time, of course, depending on the country and the context, but it was understood that in exchange for work or paying taxes, they would obtain in exchange, you know, security, education, or healthcare. But now even for younger generations, they will be looking at a very different context, right? What would you tell to these new generations that are joining the workforce? What should they be bargaining for?
Well, younger people have a perspective that is indeed built by the fact that they haven't seen the dividends from democracy.
Exactly, yeah.
They've seen those guarantees you talked about breaking down. The contract that their parents and their grandparents had has in fact been almost but eroded, and they are the victims of this. So ironically, they are losing trust in democracy itself. So that generates an even bigger challenge. So when you ask young people what they want, it's not too different to what their parents or their grandparents want. They do want to know that they can raise a family with dignity, that they can earn a wage on which they can not only live with dignity, but invest in the future, in their own homes, in their children's future, and so on. But that's unfortunately increasingly the few in the global economy.
Yeah.
Because the world of work, we have a global workforce that's now in trouble, even before we face the technological advances that are rapidly with us today and will be in the future. We have 60% of the 3 billion people on the planet who work that are in formal work, but more than half of those are in precarious, low-paid, often unsafe jobs.
So this is what we often refer to as underemployment, correct? So,
and then there's the 40% who are in the informal sector, who actually have none of those guarantees, no formal job, no minimum wage, no social protection, no rule of law. And up to 45 million of our workforce are in modern slavery. And now that informal work and modern slavery are appearing in our supply chains as well as in the poorest of countries. We have to have a new social contract that gives everybody the guarantee of work on which you can live, that deals with unemployment as well as underemployment, that deals with formalising work and gives people the hope of a future where they'll have the skills and they can share prosperity that comes from those skills.
You know, in this context that you present, are societies prepared? Are countries prepared? Do you see that there's a solution in the near term, or how can we get ready for this?
Well, people have always shaped their futures. So if you invest in the dialogue between business, between workers, between civil society and governments, then you can actually have a national development plan. You can look to what that will take. What is the regulation? What is the financing? What do you need? But if we continue to say there are privileged few, there's the elites, there's the multinational corporations who take no responsibility for up to 94% of their workforce in a hidden economy and indeed pay the lowest wages possible, or governments who actually are cowed by corporate greed, then we won't see a positive shift for the future. But the Sustainable Development Goals give people hope,
mm-hmm.
because when the leaders in 2015 agreed on the Sustainable Development Goals and at the same time the Paris Climate Agreement,
mm-hmm.
from our perspective, it is a roadmap where you can have a pathway to zero poverty, zero carbon. But we haven't seen the political leadership. In fact, we're seeing a political leadership that generates xenophobia in its own interest, the kind of fundamentalism of the far right. So people were coming frightened of each other. We're seeing a breakdown in the solidarity that then is generated in a globalised context. Multilateralism itself is in crisis. So if people don't feel trust in the solutions, and for people it's very simple. SDG 1 says eliminate poverty. You know, SDG 3 says healthcare, affordable healthcare. Mm-hmm. SDG 4 says education for everybody. And indeed, SDG 8 for us says decent work, and that means rights, human and labour rights, social protection and full employment. And when, of course, you look at the others around sustainability, around equality for women, when, you know, gender equality is becoming an even greater yawning gap, both in the labour market, but generally in the way women share in a democratic, rights-based future.
Yeah.
And the partnership question of 17, if those partnerships are not there, then the goals I mentioned, so important for us, or the goals around sustainability will not be realised.
Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. That was
was Sharon Burrow, General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation, speaking to the IMF's David Pedrosa in Bali, Indonesia, during the 2018 IMF World Bank annual meetings. You can watch webcasts of all the seminars that took place during those meetings at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts. And you can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast.